This is VK6ARN, News West. We are a community organisation and we've been serving up the best amateur radio news in Australia since 1931. Hi there, I'm Clinton, VK6FCRC, and welcome to News West for the 12th of November 2023. Now on with the show.
The flies are here, the sun is hot, and it's that time of the year again. Time for the NCRG car boot sale. I can feel the cleansing happening. Breathe in, breathe out, release. This year, it will be on Sunday, the 19th of November. See you at the Neil Penfold State Amateur Radio Centre, the NCRG Club Rooms at the northern end of Whiteman Park, enter via the gate on Ngarra Road. Timing is 9 a.m. for sellers and 10 a.m. for buyers, as per previous years. For sellers, the charge is $5 per slot. For buyers, entry via gold coin donation would be appreciated. Dig deep. No need to bring a cut lunch, it's only Whiteman Park. There'll be refreshments and barbecued sausages to purchase on the morning. No surprise, we're expecting a warm one, so please bring a hat if you're setting up your store, possibly some sort of shade. No doubt there's bargains to be had and loads to be lightened. We look forward to seeing you then. The timing again, 9 a.m. for sellers, 10 a.m. for buyers, Sunday the 19th of November, NCRG at Whiteman Park, access via Ngarra Road. On behalf of the Northern Corridor Radio Group, this is Glyn, VK6PAW.
There's a special event coming up on air, Alpha United 2 JCB, Alpha United 2 Juliet Charlie Bravo, and that's a special event call sign to commemorate the birth date, which is the 30th of November, and to pay homage to and tell about the great Indian scientist Acharya Jagadish Chandra Bose, who was recognised as the father of wireless communication by the scientific community of our world. And the operator of the call sign VU2DSI has been operating this call sign for the last 18 years. So it's on air from the 23rd of November through to the 11th of December. There's a whole list of frequencies and times and things like that, which I won't read out on air. There is a QRZ page, so just go over to qrz.com and put in the call sign Alpha United 2 Juliet Charlie Bravo. That's Alpha United 2 Juliet Charlie Bravo. And there it is, all of the information. And you never know, with the conditions the way they've been lately, or apart from the occasional CME, you never know your luck. The call sign again is Alpha United 2 Juliet Charlie Bravo at qrz.com. Go and have a look.
If you happen to listen to the right part of the 80 metre band on a Tuesday evening, you might hear something that sounds like this. The CQQRS net has been running every single Tuesday for the last 2 years and has been unbelievably popular. There are usually half a dozen, a dozen, and a couple of times up to 18 stations, popping in and out, when they can, over the 4 or 5 hours. The aim is to encourage new CW operators to have a go at slow CW in a safe and really friendly environment, where slow speed and lots of mistakes are par for the course. It's all about having a go, starting with a basic call sign and RST exchange, then, over time, getting better and better. The net also attracts its fair share of old-timers, who enjoy helping others to have a go, or just to enjoy the banter. So this might be just the opportunity you've been waiting for to have a go at transmitting on CW, or perhaps just to stop the contacts rusting up on your key. Doesn't matter whether you're brand new to the code or if you're an old-timer who would like to have a bit of fun and help encourage new operators by having simple, safe QSOs at their speed, we'd love to have you join in. The net starts at 0900 Zulu every Tuesday on 80 metres between 3540 and 3570 kHz, and there's stations in the west, east and in between listening out for your CQQRS call. For more information and to receive our weekly CQQRS RagChew newsletter, contact me, Mark, VK6QI, via my email address on qrz.com, or you can email me direct, mark.bosma@icloud.com. That is mark.bosma@icloud.com. Too much switch mode power supply hash on 80 metres? This might be the incentive to do something about it. With a cheap noise canceller costing less than $100, 80 metres could be easier than you think. So once again, Tuesdays from 0900 Zulu until late, between 3540 kHz and 3570 kHz. Cheers from Mark, VK2KI and VK6QI.
Hello from the WAVHF group, this is Dennis, VK6AKR. First today, thanks to the team who put on Perth Tech this year. A good turnout and an excellent chance to have face-to-face QSOs with our fellow amateurs. Well done, folks. Randall, VK6WR, presented an item on tracking down the interference that had plagued us on the 2-metre calling frequency 146.500. It showed what persistence, the combined reports of amateurs who found themselves affected, and the bringing to bear of technology to decode the interfering signals. Once identified to a health department location, some diplomacy and patience brought about a satisfactory outcome. Well done to Randall, Dave VK6KV, Will VK6UU, Martin VK6ZMS, Gary VK6CG, and others for their contributions. Valve Bank update. Grateful thanks to Murray VK6HL, who has kindly offered to be the custodian of the Valve Bank. Murray collected the majority of valves last week and intends to recatalogue them and eventually to begin testing them too. A reminder that in a couple of weeks' time, the spring UHF VHF Field Day will be run, Saturday and Sunday, 25th and 26th of November. The WAVHF group will be operating from Wireless Hill using VK6WH and VK6VF call signs. We extend an invitation for operators in reach of our site to come and see the club in action, enjoy a barbecue on us, bring the family, because the park is a very family-friendly environment. Especially, if there are any newly minted operators listening, regardless that you might not yet have your call sign allocated, to come along and get on air using our club call signs and rigs. Other clubs will doubtless offer similar invitations, so this really applies to the ones in reasonable reach of Wireless Hill. And if you, as an already licensed operator, know of a new chum who might not be listening to this broadcast, please let them know. The more active operators that we have here in VK6, the better for us all. We intend to deploy our 10 GHz transverter, so come and see what is involved in getting onto the higher bands. Our exploits into RTTY continue, and we hope to expand into other digimodes on 2 metres and 70 centimetres at least. A call has been put out on WA Hams, but so far has had little response. If this is a topic that interests you, then please be in touch with us at the club, although this is not a club initiative per se. 73 from Dennis, VK6AKR, for the WAVHF group. Thanks for listening, and thanks to the news team.
We haven't heard anything recently from the ACMA on the amateur radio class licensing front, so let's hope that's because it's all going well. And to say too much about it at this point would be speculation. And here comes the however. However, some people are impacted now because their license renewal is due between now and the implementation of the class license. If you're in that boat and you haven't heard from the ACMA yet, contact them by phone or email. Give them your call sign and or your client number and they'll sort you out. They were in a bit of a pickle about making refunds a while ago because the minimum refund they can make is $40-something. And some people would be entitled to less pro rata. They will have to work out who makes the profit or who makes the loss, I guess. I'm pretty sure that if you talk to them, they'll issue an invoice for a pro rata amount where your license is due for renewal between now and the implementation of the class license. So talk to them. While we're on the subject, our privileges aren't changing. We do need to keep an eye on what they proposed as a SOP for their reluctance to grant 1 kilowatt to advanced amateurs, that is to make scientific licenses available to them. That's a cop-out, and it was strongly argued against by RASA in the recent industry consultation. I don't think the other crowd mentioned it. I'm concerned about how it's all going to work, really. were to be put under a class license, with other class licenses, you get the equipment and you switch it on. However, to operate under the amateur radio class license, we must purchase a call sign from the government and possess, also at a cost and also from the government, a certification that we're qualified in an exam which is set and managed by the government. If it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck...
This is News West, your amateur radio news on VK6ARN, originating on the News West Linked Repeater Network and HF Relays.
Hi, this is Steve, VK6SJ. I've been suffering a little writer's block the last few months, and this hasn't changed yet. But this week, instead of Did You Know, I've read out Barry Burns' memoirs on his journey through amateur radio dating back to 1957. Barry's still extremely active on air, so I think these series of articles I will read out over the next few weeks will be very interesting. My Journey Through Amateur Radio by Barry J. Burns, VK680i, Part 1, 1957 to 1965. My journey through this great hobby began over 60 years ago. I was born in Whyalla, South Australia. My father was a marine engineer on one of the iron ore ships transporting iron ore from Whyalla to Newcastle. He later got a position as a boiler and factory inspector with the state government. Dad was transferred to the state office in Port Pirie, South Australia, and I was then a teenager going to the Port Pirie High School. My father had an interest in radio and electronics and had a work shed in the backyard set up for tinkering in this newfound hobby. I spent a lot of time with my father in the shed and got bitten by the radio bug. One day my father said to me, "My high school term ends at the end of the year and I'll have to go look for a job." He showed me an advert in the newspaper from the PMG department offering 5-year scholarships to be trained as a technician. I applied to sit for the entrance exam consisting of a written general knowledge test, medical and entrance exam consisting... and eyesight test, including test for colour blindness. I passed all of these tests and was accepted as one of the 90 applicants applying for a technician in training position. I then moved to Adelaide to commence my training, and my parents arranged boarding accommodation in one of the Adelaide suburbs and went to the training centre in Adelaide, South Australia, by train. The apprenticeship was a 5-year course. The first was on telephones, telegraphy and radio. After this period, we were given a choice of which section we wanted to finish in. Naturally, I chose radio and won one of the 6 positions available. When I completed the 5-year training, I came out as a qualified radio technician, got myself married and was transferred to the regional radio station 5PA in Panola, South Australia. During my training in radio, there was a group of technicians experimenting in transmission and reception on the 288 MHz band, known as the Pirates Band. This got my interest. At this stage, my parents had moved to Adelaide in a suburb called Findon, and I'd moved back in with them. My father had set up his backyard shed to continue with his hobby of tinkering with electronics and radio. My father was interested in the project, and between us we decided to build up a 288 MHz station with information and circuits I obtained from our work group. The transmitter consisted of a pair of 7193s and a tuned Lecker line, and the receiver used a 6J6 regenerative receiver with tuned Lecker line, and the antenna was a 16 element collinear. My father and I had fun working local pirates on this band, and we had fictitious call signs. After a couple of months, my father said, "Son, we better make ourselves legal and get our limited amateur license." We both applied and got the date to sit the exams. Being a smart aleck apprentice, I said I would get higher marks than my father. When we got the results back, I proudly said, "I got 82%. And my father, with a smirk, showed his results. He got 90%. And that put me back in my box. I got the call sign VK5ZDI and Dad got VK5ZCP. While in Panola, South Australia, I played around with 6 metres AM and had regular contacts with hams just over the border in Victoria. I built up a 3-element Yagi with water pipes, which was cumbersome and heavy, but it worked. In late 1962, I put in for a transfer for Darwin, Northern Territory, for a radio station 8DR and was able to get it, so started a real adventure in the Territory that lasted for 34 years. My call sign was then changed to VK8ZDI. I drove up to Darwin to take up the position at 8DR and to be allocated before moving the family to Darwin. This took 3 months' wait for a house from the NT government. The family arrived by TAA Airlines. That took 8 hours in those days as the aircraft was doing a milk run, stopping at Alice Springs, Tennant Creek and Catherine. In 1965, my father contacted me and told me he'd sat for the Morse code and his call sign is now VK5 Uniform Juliet. Beat me again. This spurred me on and I later passed the Morse, 14 words a minute, and applied for VK8 Delta India, which I was able to get. I'll continue my travels in amateur radio in part two while living in Darwin until 1997.
Foundations of Amateur Radio. Over the years, I've spent many hours building and testing antennas. I've talked about this and discussed how there is essentially an infinite variety of antennas that can exist. To give you a sense of this, picture a basic dipole antenna. 2 bits of wire, same length, connected to a feed point. We're doing this experiment in space, so we're not concerned with trees or rope, or the ground for that matter. More on those shortly. We can make this dipole straight, or we can make it into a V-shape, or bend over the edges, or make each side into a half circle and join them, or make them into a spiral, or kink the wires, or bend them over, or any number of variations. Every time you change something, the antenna radiation pattern changes, and the antenna behaves differently. While at its heart the antenna might still be considered a dipole, essentially a change in radiation pattern effectively means a different antenna. In those changes, or wire orientation alone, we have already defined an infinite number of antennas. But that only scratches the surface. We can build an infinite variety of physical antennas. Consider the design of vertical antennas, loop antennas, log periodic antennas, Yagi antennas, slot antennas, and beverage antennas, to name a few. Once you start investigating antennas, you'll discover just how many options there are, and once you've acquired the antenna of your dreams, the work is only just beginning. To explain why this is the case, consider the process of finding an antenna to buy or build. You'll find breathless reports of how amazing an antenna is, and how it allowed the operator to hear a mosquito land on the back of a container ship in the middle of a tropical cyclone whilst the sunspot activity was at an all-time low. Right next to those reports, you'll find another amateur describing how their dummy load performed better and cost less. If not those specific examples, you'll have no doubt found both positive and negative reviews for the very same antenna, often side by side. And if you don't, you're not looking hard enough. Leaving aside the notion that someone is trying to discredit a commercial competitor or that the antennas are inadvertently physically different because someone put it together incorrectly, there's plenty of opportunity for other reasons for this wide range of opinion. Let's take the popular G5RV antenna, invented in 1946 by Lewis, Golf 5 Romeo Victor, who became a silent key on June 28, 2000. The antenna is a multi-band HF antenna, and there are plenty of people offering plans and kits for this antenna. Ignoring the differences in plans, let's imagine that two amateurs purchased the exact same G5RV from the same batch from the same supplier. Both erect their antennas at their home shack or QDH, and get on air to make noise. At a local barbecue, they get together and compare notes, only to discover that the two antennas are behaving completely differently. How is this possible? What other factors might cause this experience? You're not going to like my answer, but it depends. The height at which the antenna is erected, how tight you pull it between two trees, how you feed it, the type of coax you use, how much power your transmitter uses, how close it is to another object like a fence or a house, what type of ground is below the antenna, what the local noise floor is like, which direction it's oriented, which day you use it, and finally what colour clothes you're wearing at the time. That last one isn't strictly true, but it serves to highlight that some differences exist and are so innocuous as to be laughable. For example, have you considered the type of tree and how much foliage there is, when the lawn below the antenna was last watered, etc.? My point is that some differences aren't obvious, but they can, and do, make an antenna behave differently. In other words, the environment around two identical antennas is hardly ever the same, and thus the antenna system as a whole, since the environment and the antenna together combine into a system, are never the same. This means that when you go about finding an antenna that's suitable for you, the reviews you read are only part of the story. If the antenna needs ground radials that are physically not possible at your site, then that antenna is unlikely to be suitable for your situation, regardless of the glowing reviews. As I said, in my time I've built and bought plenty of antennas. I've also tried several by way of my local amateur radio club. I've operated a mobile station from my car, set up a portable station in numerous locations using the exact same antenna, and learnt that while the environment is almost never discussed, it has by far the biggest influence on the performance of your antenna. My recommendation is to pick an antenna, any antenna, cheap is good, and start. Play with it. Change how you erect it. Set it up in different locations, and I'd highly recommend that you do this with a friend. Between the two of you, the shared installation can be used as a baseline to compare your own antenna against. And if you're both comparing notes against what you built together, you'll both have a better chance of understanding what particular difference matters in your own setup. I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima, Alpha Bravo.
This is VK6ARN, and you're listening to News West.
Let's hear a few history snippets. This one is from the Daily News, Monday the 12th of June 1950. Radio Award presented, the George Scott Trophy for 1949-50 for amateur radio wireless transmitters in WA has been presented to Mr. Ron Hugo. The award was made on the usual basis of allotting points for equipment, experiments, transmitting, institute work, contests and other features. At the annual dinner, Institute patron George Heyman spoke of the continuing need of an organisation to safeguard the work of amateurs and to act as a connecting link with the authorities. And again from the Daily News, on Wednesday the 30th of April 1952, for radio amateurs. Australian radio amateurs are having a new band of frequencies given for their use, but will lose other bands. The Administrative Radio Conference at Geneva in December made a band between 21.000 MHz and 21.450 MHz available to Australian amateurs. As from tomorrow, said Director of Posts and Telegraphs, Mr. Friend, today they will, however, lose the use of those bands between 7.150 and 7.200 and 14.350 and 14.4 megacycles, which go to broadcasting and fixed services, respectively. So there were wins and gains there. From the Daily News, Saturday the 6th of September 1952, radio amateurs get together. Youth and age were much in evidence at the first combined annual dinner of the Radio Society of WA and the Wireless Institute of Australia WA Division last night. Among the 65 amateur enthusiasts were Western Australia's oldest radio ham, the 78-year-old WS Skipper Schofield, and a keen 15-year-old. Guests were President Roger Choate of the Institute of Radio Engineers and PMG radio inspector and veteran amateur A. Gray. Another veteran was Wireless Institute President W. Coxton, one of WA's pioneers in amateur radio, who helped to put 6WF on the air and who is now associated with the Flying Doctor radio service. Present also were the patron of the Wireless Institute and Superintendent of Technical Education in WA, Mr. W.G. Heyman, and long-standing amateur radio operator Mr. R.W.S. Hugo, President of the Radio Society of WA. Well, isn't that nice? You can have two organisations with the same task and they talk to each other.
Good morning, good morning. This is Roy VK, 6X-ray Victor with this week's helpline. The 12th of November in the year of 2023. What do I have for you today? I have a complete satellite antenna setup consisting of a Kenpro Kilo Romeo 600 X-ray azimuth rotator. There's also a Kenpro Kilo Romeo 500 elevation rotator. There's a Kilo Romeo 5-4 dual antenna controller. There's a Fox Delta Sierra Tango 2 digital interface for the KR5400 to RS232 USB for a computer control. There's a 5x4 cross element Yagi for 2 meters, homebrew. There's also a 70 centimeter multi tune helix antenna, homebrew. Note that the controllers are elderly, but they're still functioning quite well, and asking $400 or nearest offer for the lot. A bargain, I'd say. Contact Frank on his mobile, 0413 592 488. Again, that's Frank, 0413 592 488, after 12 noon today. Or you can do the email thing anytime you like, and that is frank_vk6kilo foxtrot delta@iinet.net.au. I'll say again, Fox Romeo Alpha November Kilo _ Victor Kilo Figure Number 6 Kilo Fox Delta at iinet.net.au. That's Frank VK6 Kilo Foxtrot Delta. Next item comes from Steve. I'm sure Don VK6 Uniform Tango deceased estate still has lots of equipment in it, lots of books. Has all sorts of books and bits and pieces, and if you would like to see what's still left there, give Stephen a ring. His mobile 0401804166, 0401804166, or email to Sierra Tango Echo Papa Hotel Echo November Tango at westnet.com.au. I'll say again, Stephen, followed by the letter T, Stephen T at westnet.com.au. And that's all I have for you for today. Thank you once again. If you have any items for next week, please contact me, vk6xrayvictor@bigpond.com or roy.watkins@bigpond.com, either one. And thank you for once again for listening. 7-3.
Hi there, it's Clinton, vk6fcrc, back with you. And did you know that News West is now on YouTube? Type in youtube.com/@newswestweeklypodcast-kilo-zulu-7-yankee-charlie. Oh, and before I go, I'd like to thank those watching on YouTube or ATV, the readers, and you for listening. I'd also like to thank our team, the broadcasters, and those submitting content each week. Please stand by now for callbacks after the broadcast. Or head over to the VK6.net website and fill out the form so we know how many people are listening each week.